is looking for growling spiritual stomachs. He is not looking for casual nibblers.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's when the Lord satisfies our hunger and transforms our reality.
Much of what God wants to do to us, in us, and with us, he can't get to because we are too full already.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A really resourceful human might be able to do something with anything, but our God can do anything with nothing. And when nothing is all we've got, Dr. Evans says that's the time we're most likely to see the Lord do something amazing. Let's join him as he explains.
2 Kings Chapter 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Have you ever been in a situation where everything is wrong? Well, this lady is in an everything is wrong situation. First of all, she's in emotional pain. Her husband has died. We have to deal with financial problems. This lady is in debt, and is in so much debt, she's about to lose her children because she can't pay her bills. She's in physical pain. We know she's in physical pain because in verse 2, she's asked, what does she have in the house? And she says, all she has is a jar of oil. So we don't, old Mother Hubbard has nothing in the cupboard. So that means there's hunger. She's in spiritual pain. She's in spiritual pain because she says, you know your servant, verse 1, that is my husband, feared the Lord. And yet the Lord he feared took him. That's why she goes to the prophet, Elisha. Why? Because even though it had to do with death, and even though it had to do with kids, and even though it had to do with money, and even though it had to do with emotional struggle, she knew she needed to get an answer from the Lord. See, the prophet was the spokesperson of God. His job was to take God's truth, give it to God's people in a way that applied to their need. When you are in a situation and there is no solution, I've said this before, there is no human way to fix it, that is not the time to throw in the towel, that is the time to seek a word from the Lord. Elijah asked her in verse 2, what shall I do for you? What's your need? What's your circumstance? Tell me, he says, what do you have in your house? Now, she's basically said nothing. But she remembers there is one thing in her house. Your maidservant has nothing in the house, well, except I got a jar of oil. I got a little jar of oil that you cook with, that you bake with. Then he said, the prophet, go. Borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors. Even empty vessels. And do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. Now, let's start out right now. That don't make no sense. Can I say that right off the bat? That don't make any, that doesn't, excuse me. Let me move back from Ebonics here. That makes absolutely no sense. He says, you have nothing. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go to your neighbors and collect their nothing. Collect emptiness. I'm actually going somewhere, so stay with me. The problem here is that this does not make sense. This does not seem to have any connection at all with my problem. Okay, now. When you are desperate and things don't make sense, you're actually positioned to hear a word from the Lord. She does exactly what he says. It says that she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. Now, this lady exercises faith in the prophet, believing that he was giving her a word from the Lord. She comes to God because she's desperate. And she presents her emptiness to God. So here's the first thing I want you to catch. The fuller you are, the less God can do for you because you are too self-sufficient. Much of what God wants to do to us, through us, in us, and with us, he can't get to because we are too full already. We are not empty enough, meaning dependent enough on him. We have become self-sufficient. Now, it shows up in a million different ways, but it all shows up in the same way, and that is seeking human solutions to spiritual problems. Whenever you choose a human route to address a spiritual need, you have presented your fullness to God and not your emptiness. She collects emptiness from her neighbors. She had to go to them. She had to go beyond herself. She couldn't sit in her house, sit, soak, and sour about how bad things are. In other words, she had to get involved with somebody else. See, one of the problems that we have, because we see the world collapsing on us, we think we are the world. When you are in your deepest need, God doesn't want you just focused on you. That he wants to do something in you and do something to you so he can do something through you. And it came about that she began to pour her one jar into the empty vessels until every empty vessel was full. Now, how can you do that? If you got a jar and you pour out a jar, all you can do is pour out what you have. You know what that meant? That meant God kept refilling her jar so that she could keep filling other jars until all the emptiness that had been accumulated was now full. But the emptiness that was accumulated wasn't in her stuff. The emptiness that was accumulated was in other folks' stuff. No, you didn't get that. She's pouring out of her stuff in the stuff of other folk who don't belong to her. Those vessels belong to the neighbors. But now the vessels that she got from the neighbors aren't empty. They are full of her oil. How did she get that much oil? Only a supernatural provision of God. But watch this. The supernatural provision of God didn't come to her until she had other vessels to share it with. It's like the boy with the fish and the barley loaves. When he gave it to Jesus and Jesus said a prayer on it, Jesus fed 5,000, not counting women and children. That's probably over 20,000 people. But in order for it to be multiplied, he had to be willing to give it up. In your desperation, that is the time to give it up. Whatever it is you want from God, give to him. That's the principle of Luke 6:38. Whatever you want from him, give it to him.
What happens when we do that? Dr. Evans will tell us when he continues our story in just a moment. First, though, I'd like to mention a great resource that'll help build up your family's faith and bring you together at the same time. It's a 52-week devotional from Tony and his son Jonathan called the Kingdom Family Devotional. Topics range from basics of the faith like salvation, prayer, and discipleship, to life essentials like handling money, picking friends, and setting priorities. It's meaty enough for mom and dad and simple enough to keep the kids on board. And we'd like you to have a copy as our gift. All we ask is that you make a contribution, any contribution, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if you do that right away, we'll include a special bonus, all 10 full-length messages in Tony's current series called The Comeback. But this offer won't last much longer, so visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 before time runs out. I'll repeat our contact information later in the program. Tony will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
We've all experienced a time in our life where we could accept defeat or dig down deep and fight to come back from our downfall. Maybe you were fired from your job. Maybe you disappointed the people you love. Or maybe you're fighting for your life against cancer. Whatever the circumstance, you have to make the decision to come back stronger than ever. In his new book, Your Comeback, Tony Evans provides the inspiration you need to have your ultimate personal and spiritual comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
So she is pouring and pouring and pouring when the vessels were full, verse 6 says, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Oh, she's getting into this. She said, this ain't bad. Long as I was here by myself, I had this one jar. Woe is me. All of a sudden, she getting into this. Come on, boy, where's the next one? Keep this thing flowing. So her, not only has her situation changed, her emotion has changed. She's feeling differently. She's feeling this thing. And he said to his mother, there is not one vessel more. Here it is. And the oil stopped. The oil stopped for her when it could not be provided to anybody else. Then she came and told the man of God. She came to the prophet and said, oh, guess what? You would not believe it. He probably would have, because he's the one who told her to do it. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons can live on the rest. Now we're talking economic development. This is a serious verse. What you just poured in your neighbor's vessels has value. It's a valuable commodity. All the housewives need oil. Instead of the housewives going to get oil, why don't you let them get the oil from you? In fact, we've got an oil business going on here that now you can gain a profit from. And this will be enough profit. This is the deep part that blows my mind. That you will get out of debt, and it's got to be serious debt for them to want to take their kids away from them. That's, you don't do that for a dollar, all right? This is big time debt. So this tells me she collected a bunch of pots and oil had value. But then it gets even better, because not only will you be out of debt, you and your son will be able to live on the rest. That's heavy. No, he didn't say you and your son can make it for a month on the rest. He said you and your son will live. You will live out your life on the rest. That's huge. In 7 verses, we've gone from a beggar to an entrepreneur. But did this idea come from the MBA degree? Did this idea come from, you know, their schooling or their education? Uh-uh. This idea came because this woman listened to the prophet. In other words, the prophet gave her a divine approach to dealing with a real life situation. The blessing stopped when the emptiness stopped, but the solution was long term. They had enough to live on because God multiplied it. Now, I don't know how many of us have seen God multiply, but it's a doozy. When God moves in and multiplies something, it reminds me of the widow of Zarephath. She had to bake her last pancake for the prophet. And she said, well, we just weren't going to do this and die, but if this is what God says, and the Bible says, and it went on and on and on and on and on, and she even got her son raised from the dead. She saw God's supernatural intervention. Why don't we see God multiplying us today? Because we are not hungry. We do not bring our hunger to God. We are like the diet pills that they offer today that suppress the appetite. They don't remove the hunger. They simply mask it. We camouflage spiritual hunger with junk food. Sometimes that junk food comes in the name of religion, programs and seminars. Sometimes it's in the form of worldliness, but it masks the true hunger. God is looking for growling spiritual stomachs. People who are in passionate pursuit of Him. He is not looking for casual nibblers. He is looking for those who are committed to the filling that only He can provide. The Bible calls this, in a New Testament theological frame of reference, the filling of the Spirit, or being under divine control, the yielding of the total life to Him so that He can do His thing through our life. What does He do in the meantime? He makes us hungry. Or He keeps the things we're looking to fill us up from satisfying us. So He'll let you eat junk food, it just won't last. Now, I love Chinese food. Give me pork egg foo young or a beef egg foo young. I love Chinese food. But I got a problem with Chinese food. It don't hang with me long. That's my problem with Chinese food. It doesn't seem to have staying power. It don't hang with me long. I'm hungry not too long after eating Chinese food. It tastes good, but it doesn't hang long enough. When we become satisfied with food that God does not supply, it'll taste good, but it won't last long. It's momentary. It's for the moment. So what must God do to make us hungry? Make us desperate. Because when you're desperate, now you're ready to listen to a prophetic word. When you're desperate, now all of a sudden what God has to say is real important, and I really do need to pay attention. When you're desperate, you're wondering whether any word or every word is His word to you. Because you are desperate. But when you are desperate, He will always challenge your faith, because He will stretch you into a realm you're not used to going. I don't know of anybody in the Bible who, when God was ready to make His move with them, that He did not create desperation first. I mean, God let Hannah was desperate. I mean, it wasn't just that she couldn't have a baby. It's that she was being made fun of because she was barren. They were messing with her emotionally. And it says, and she cried out in desperation. And then in her desperation, guess what she did? She said, and I want you to give me a son. And before I'm even pregnant, I'm going to tell you now, that son I give back to you. Okay, you know what she just did? She's in an impossible situation because she's barren. She can't fix this problem. The doctors can't fix this problem. but she gives back to God to be used by God in the life of others that which she wanted God to give to her. The next thing you know, a girlfriend is pregnant because she was dependent totally on only what God can do. Yes, story after story after story after story. We couldn't even go through them all. Paul says it. Let me close with this verse in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. Okay? We were at wit's end. So that we despaired even of life. That's pretty low, right? Don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm at the death's door. Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves. It's one thing for the sentence of death to be on you. It's another thing for the sentence of death to be in you. In other words, not only had other folk written us off, we had written ourselves off. Okay? Why would God let you get that low? He says at the end of verse 9, in order that, that's a purpose clause, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God let us get that low so that we would stop looking at us and look to God, because looking at us would do no good. Because we had already written ourselves off. I already said, there's nothing left for me. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. And you are joining in helping us with your prayers. Other folk got involved. If you're running on empty, if you're living like I drive on fumes, I'm notorious for driving on fumes. I just hate to stop it. I will go, see, and now I know where empty is. Uh-huh, see, I'm not the only one. I know that when it hits E, it ain't there yet. I know when it's just past E, it ain't there yet. I was telling, I think, Jonathan, I was driving him somewhere, and it had gotten past E. I say, you got 15 good ones left. So some of our lives are like that. We on fumes. Desperate. No answer. No solution. No exit. No way out. No way to get this thing right. You're going to listen for a word from God. If that's not what you're listening for, you ain't hungry.
If you've been living your life on E, isn't it time to let God fill you up? It all starts by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Tony will be glad to explain exactly how that can happen for you today. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu at the top, and follow the link that says Jesus. He has a video there that explains what it means to be a real Christian. And once you make that decision, there are some free resources to get you started off right. Check it out today at TonyEvans.org. Also, if you'd like a copy of today's message, it's called Bringing God Your Emptiness, and it's available by itself or as part of Tony's current 10-part series, The Comeback. As I mentioned, when you support The Alternative with any contribution God leads you to make, large or small, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with the book I mentioned earlier, The Kingdom Family Devotional. As always, the details are waiting for you online at TonyEvans.org, where you can browse through our huge library of resources and sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. You can also reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open around the clock for your convenience. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. If you've spent too long seeking deliverance by sticking with strategies that don't work, Dr. Evans will come back on Monday with some new ideas for you. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.